Committee on Natural Resources for Saturday, June 16th, 2007. And the first item on our agenda today is a federal grant request for the Department of State Lands.
So the Department of State Lands is requesting approval of the submission of an application to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, for an Estuary Restoration Act grant for $80,223 to evaluate the success of restoration projects funded between fiscal years 2000 and 2006. Grant proposals are due on June 18th and are expected to be awarded in October of 2007. If the grant is awarded, Department of State Lands may need to return to request additional other fund limitation late in the 2007-09 biennium. Legislative Fiscal Office recommends approval of the request.
Folks want to hear from the department?
I don't feel the need.
No need for the department?
You guys okay with it?
Okay, is
that I'll move. I'll be moving adoption of the grant request. If I move approval of the grant request.
Senator Lockheed approves the federal grant request for the Department of State Lands as described by our very competent staff. Any questions? Any discussion? Any objections?
Nope.
Ooh, so ordered.
Your streak ends there.
If I make a motion right now on the Department of Forestry budget,
well, we'll see. We can do that. Do you want to just stand at ease here until the chair gets back and he's got to get his
right.
So the committee will stand at ease for the real chair comes back.
Okay. I will open a work session on House Bill 5024. Ms. Jordan, and that will, I have some comments, and I believe the committee members are going to have some comments, and then maybe some questions to the department. So.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. You have the packet in front of you, and you had it emailed to your offices a couple days ago. The budget, the total budget for the Department of Forestry is $276,952,315. And I'm going to start with the work session documents, which is the papers that are behind the memo, spreadsheets behind the memo, and we'll start on page 5 in agency administration under work session action. Package 102, the IT system maintenance and infrastructure package, is recommended $172,250 general fund, $152,750 other funds, total package of $325,000. Package 103 is the agency business systems package. That's also recommended at $4.2 million. This package will be funded by $3.2 million in certificate of participation and $1 million other funds. And the debt service for this will be in the debt service program. We'll talk about that later. Package 806 is a technical adjustment to shift the one half of the portion of the agency's administration dedicated to the fire program to landowner assessment. This will align the agency administration dedicated to the fire program with the funding for base fire protection. We will shift $6,350,890 general fund to other funds. Administration for the agency programs is prorated to each of the programs of the department with the exception of the base fire protection program, which is 100% general fund. And in order to capture the true cost of providing the protection, an administration program will be charged to the protection from fire program for these costs, which is funded 50% by the general fund and 50% by the other funds. Other funds will be paid through a shift of monies from the state forestry account, which is currently funded by harvest tax or timber sale revenues. So there won't be a tax increase to landowners this biennium. So the total package then is a reduction of $6.3 million in general fund and an increase of $6.3 million other funds.
Chair?
Yes.
I'd like some further explanation on exactly why this LFO technical adjustment is in here. I was of the understanding that when this cost shift issue was brought up several weeks ago, which is what led to the cancellation of these work sessions, that after a lot of discussion, the agreement was not to do the cost shift. Then I open this up and I see this here, that we are in fact doing it, and we're just putting off the tax increase to the landowners for 2 years. So I'm not quite sure why this is in here.
Actually, I've had a brief discussion with one of the co-chairs, the Senate co-chair. And actually, I have the other co-chair here. The intent in the budget note is not to put off an increase until the next biennium. The intent is to evaluate what the actual direct and indirect contributions are and to equalize them in the next session. In terms of the budget note, understanding the budget note has no force of law. It's to examine the issue. In doing that, that's why the budget note is there, to actually audit the actual in-kind contribution. My understanding is when it's determined what the in-kind contribution is, that is included in determining what the, in terms of the ratio. It's not meant to be excluded, so to assume that there is an increase in the future is probably an assumption. To assume that the in-kind isn't going to be included is also probably more than an assumption, because I think what the budget note is trying to do is to get a clear picture of what the actual in-kind contribution is. So I think that is something that honestly will be debated in the future. I can't guarantee anybody that it's not going to be debated. But I think the purpose of the audit and the purpose of actually bolstering a lot of the, I would call it the business practices portion of some of the needs of the Department of Forestry, is to be able to more clearly track some of these issues. So I don't think that there is an assumption here at all that there will be a transfer of costs to landowners on this in the future. There is an unknown. And I think what the co-chairs would like to know is what is the actual in-kind contribution.
Well, Mr. Chair, if I may follow up, and I would like to have that discussion a little bit more thoroughly when we do get to the budget note, but my question really is very specific here to this package 806, because what this tells me is that there has been a decision made to no longer pay for the admin costs out of general fund. What this tells me is that the 2003 Budget Note 3 report agreement that was made in 2004 is no longer valid. That's what this is telling me.
What it would tell me, and I have a different perception here, and I'm not, is that in the process of trying to determine how to resolve these issues, we have done something that's not uncommon in Ways and Means. We have found different ways to pay for things. And basically, I think we've actually found a way to pay for some things that's actually a win-win for a number of people. So I think that's what the budget note is telling you. Well, that's what the budget note and that's what the package is telling you. My usual fight these days with the co-chairs over general fund funding, I shouldn't call it a fight. Is that an appropriate thing to call it?
Discussion.
A discussion. It's in the 50,000 and 100,000 level. So finding $3.6 million in general funds to backfill this is kind of almost out of the question right now, I would guess.
I concur with that, except I wouldn't use the word almost.
Okay.
I just want to make sure that I'm hearing you correctly. It's not the intent, as you understand it from the co-chairs or from this committee, to shift this back to the state for 2 years.
and then shift it back to the landowners after that. That's not the intent. If it were the intent, then I would agree with Representative Burley, and I would have great concern over our direction. But that's not the intent.
No, the intent is to examine the issue. I guess I'm kind of known for being maybe fair at diplomacy. The intent is that some parties have some concerns over the 2003 process, want to basically have it reevaluated, want to have an independent audit, and really it's that independent audit and working with stakeholders that will ultimately determine what potential decisions are presented to the next legislative session. And ultimately the governor has the ability to determine what he wants to propose. And ultimately from what's presented, the legislature in the next session will be the ultimate decider of how this is done. Representative Clem.
I think the part of the problem is the way the actual package description is labeled, because I don't like it either when I see that. It does look like a foregone conclusion, but I mean, if we're establishing the legislative record that that's not the intent, then I'm more than happy to do it. In fact, I would say that rather than a budget note, if we really want to change the policy, because it's really policy, of not counting, once we tabulate through the budget note what some of those donated things are, if we really want to change the policy of not giving people credit for that at all in the formula, then that should be done in a bill, and I'm not going to vote for that bill.
And that's not the intent, Representative Plain.
Right.
And
I just want to get on the record.
Let's understand how that practice came to be through a budget note itself.
That's a terrible practice that I'm going to be a long-time critic of.
Exactly.
Representative Berlin.
Well, Madam Co-Chair, that's right. It was a budget note that created the work group that came up with the agreement that the fire admin cost would be 100% picked up by the general fund. In fact, as I remember, I made a comment that we're shifting it to the state and then away and then back. The state's already picking up. That was part of the 2003 agreement. The state picked up the fire overhead cost 100% because the industry is putting in in-kind contributions that at that time were shown to be actually more than what the overhead fire overhead was. Now, again, Mr. Chair, I would submit that if the intent of the co-chairs is to revisit that agreement, to audit the actual costs, to determine how much each party is actually paying, that's fine. That's one thing. But I submit that the simple fact that this package 806, as written, is in this budget, is telling me that the decision's already been made and that this audit process is just...
I don't believe that it's anything that's for appearances. In my discussions with the co-chairs, I think, and one of them can speak for themselves because she's here, it's that they want this reevaluated. Now, keep in mind that the budget note in 2003 had no force of law. Neither does this budget note have any force of law. Keep in mind that the discussion that occurred and the agreement that occurred also had no force of law because it was never ratified by the legislature. Now, a person could make a case that it was ratified indirectly by simply how the budget was written, but I think what they're looking for here now, and I think actually what would be better for the legislature, better for the department, and better for the stakeholders, is to get an actual clear decision out of the legislature based on facts. I honestly believe that they will find that a lot of the in-kind contribution is real and identifiable, and that will be factored in. I can't really tell you for sure what any future legislative session will do. I can't tell you who will be here in the next legislative session. But I don't believe it's the decision of the co-chairs at
at this point to shift this cost to landowners. And I'd like to say, too, in terms of determining this, I can go into this in a lot more detail. When we were trying to look at alternatives to this, realizing that there are private and public landowners, and that the department has obviously some responsibilities by a contract to the Bureau of Land Management and others. And when you even look at this from the standpoint of transferring the cost to landowners, it wouldn't be just to private landowners, it would be to public landowners also. Mm-hmm. And that is actually a relatively substantial portion of this. So I don't think that there's any assumption here about which direction this will go in the next legislative session.
Mr. Chair, if I could make one last comment, and then in the interest of moving on, table concerns here till we get to the budget note and some other sections. But I just want the members of this committee to understand how important this issue is to those landowners, the private landowners, particularly the small family forest and farm and grazing landowners. Because right now, these assessments, particularly in eastern Oregon, are higher than their property taxes are. And this proposal, as it was originally written 3 weeks ago, would have raised those assessments on some areas by as much as 15%, which is extremely excessive in my opinion. That's why there was the concern, the very great concern about changing that cost shift.
Representative Burley, I would say that in terms of alternatives that Ms. Jordan and I looked at and presented to the co-chairs, we at one time had those rates increasing because of how things were done and because of how much resources we could bring to bear and how much public landowners would pay, down to about 1 to 2 cents, actually, depending upon the property per acre. But after discussions with the co-chairs, they decided literally not to go there, to set up this other process to look at this long term rather than to put in place any increase at this time.
So, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Yeah. Just so that people do understand, I think it is fair to conclude that there is no presumption that the efforts of this review and audit will lead to a conclusion that additional assessments will be imposed on landowners. But there is no presumption to be made that it will come up validating entirely the practice we're doing now. The issue is that I think people don't really know. And so what we've tried to do is find a reasonable way of supporting the services that the department needs to provide in a way that does not add to the burden of landowners this time. And frankly, give all the people involved in this some time to work together to figure it out. So there's no presumption that it's leading to any conclusion, because that's the reason we're having an audit, so that everybody can understand it and all the information is out in the light of day. And I think that's the kind of thing that we ought to do. We establish a practice, we pursue it for a little bit of time, and then we say, oh, is it doing what we wanted it to do? And we're at that point now where we ought to figure out if it's doing what we want it to do.
Chair, one other question. Susie, if you could, in the LFO recommendation where it says 50% general fund and 50% other funds, could you more specifically define the other funds?
Yes, Mr. Chair, Senator Avakian, the other funds are timber sale receipts that the agency receives when they sell their timber on state forest lands. That is normally distributed about 65% to the counties and then the balance to the state forestry account for managing the forests. And the way we have come about doing that is we have come to an agreement with the counties that we will transfer that amount of money to pay these costs in this biennium and provide a change in the statute that requires an agreement with the counties and the state for any of these kinds of transfers in the future, as well as we have a package in this budget that will increase capital improvement program by $6.4 million so that an additional revenue distribution could occur to counties.
Okay, I understand that. Then the full amount is comprised of what you just described and 50% general fund.
That's correct.
Then how does that relate to the statement in the package description where it says shift one half of the portion to landowner assessment?
That was, I'm sorry, I should have taken that out. That was the prior language when we had intended to assess landowners
rather
than the port.
So that piece
that should say
not in,
to
be
other
included.
Funds. Yeah.
Should say other funds.
That's correct.
Okay.
I would like to make one other comment, and that is from a whether it's paid by general fund or other funds, from a technical standpoint, administrative costs should be shown in the Protection from Fire program, not the agency administration program, as it is for all of their other programs in the agency. The funding sources then can be worked out within Protection from Fire. So this is part of this is really a technical change, and part of it is the policy discussion about how it's being funded. The fiscal policy discussion, that is.
Yes, Susie, if I understood you correctly, when you were answering Senator Avakian's question about other funds, you said some of the other funds are going to come from state forestry?
Yes.
The department's accounts where all of their money gets deposited, all their other fund monies gets deposited, is called the state forestry account.
Some of those would be revenues from selling timber off of state forest lands?
That's correct. It's the state share of those timber sales, yes.
To refresh everyone's memory, and not to make Mr. Josie kind of... the state tried in a previous biennium to move about $10 million of that those funds to other uses. That led to extensive litigation between the state and a number of counties. And basically, what we've done here is come to agreement about the use of those funds in the future. And actually, the way this is being done is a benefit to the counties, obviously, and a benefit to actually resolving the issues in this budget.
I appreciate that, and I just wanted to make sure everybody understood that this is revenue from selling timber off of state forest lands that we can use to help pay for state government.
Yes.
What a novel idea.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I want to thank you for working on this for the last couple of weeks. I know that I haven't been an easy person to please on this. I'm sure others haven't, but thank you.
Co-Chair, did you still need a recess for a moment?
I think that would be helpful.
Okay.
Give us about 2 minutes.
Recess for 2 minutes. And to come back.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Are we back? Yes, we are back.
Okay, thank you. I am going to run through the policy packages quickly so that we can get them on the record, and then we will move on to the motions for moving the bill. So I'm moving into the Protection from Fire program. Package 110 restores reduced capacity in the fire program. LFO is recommending approval with a technical adjustment. Package 114 is smoke management capacity. LFO recommends approval with adjustment for PERS costs on the new position. Package 115 recommends approval of the technical change, but without the cost. Package 117, the public share fire fund accounting system redesign. LFO is recommending approval of adding two positions to establish a new accounting structure that clearly shows expenditures of the various funding sources. Package 152 restores the essential budget level in private forests. LFO is not recommending approval of this, although we are recommending a portion of it be restored in private forests. Package 806 is technical adjustments that mirrors the technical adjustments made in the administration program for moving the administrative costs to the Protection from Fire program. It also adds $540,753 general fund to the agency budget to pay fire insurance premium costs for 08 fire season, and places a special purpose appropriation in the emergency board for the 2009 fire insurance and for severity resources, and the agency is directed to leverage other resources to maximize state resources for severity expenses, and the agency should not expect additional general funds that will be provided beyond the special purpose appropriation from the emergency fund for severity resources. It also adds $30,000 general fund and $30,000 federal fund for implementing Senate Bill 450, which was relating to rangeland protection programs. Moving on to equipment pool, package 120 established an office manager, two positions, restore technical business management. ELFO recommends approval with a technical adjustment. In the state forest lands, package 130, state forest land capacity establishes 11 permanent positions, replacing 21 limited duration positions, and LFO is recommending approval of that package. Package 152, restoring the EBL and private forests. This one is not recommended, which was only an $18,000 other fund increase. Moving on to urban forestry, package 140.
A couple of questions before we get on urban forestry, please. I apologize for having been out of the room. Back on page 11, under package 806, LFO technical adjustments, total special purpose appropriation is $4,979,000 and change. It says then that, skipping down a sentence, the agency should not expect additional general funds will be provided beyond the special purpose appropriation from the emergency fund. My question is that the $4.9 million in change, when they spend that last dollar and they've got a fire that's burning towards Black Butte Ranch, what are they supposed to do? Just ground all the helicopters and shut down the fire engines and go home, or what do they do?
Mr. Chair, Representative Burley, that is intended only for the severity resources. So the agency needs to manage their budget for severity resources where they have their pre-positioning contracts in such a way that they stay within their expenditure limitation. If they have an emergency fire, they continue to fight those fires as they have in the past, and if they need the general fund to pick up beyond the Oregon Forest Land Protection Fund or deductibles of the insurance, then they come to the emergency board as usual. It's only specifically for that severity resource.
Follow up?
Yes.
So just hypothetically, what would they do if there's no e-board?
An e-board would be probably called.
That's correct. Mr. Chair, Representative Burley, what we have is a system in place where the agency notifies us of their severity plan and how they plan to manage those resources. And that report then gives them some authority to move on ahead with the expectation that they would have be able to come and get this money out of this special purpose appropriation after that period of time.
And then also, Mr. Chair, in addition, on that same paragraph, previous sentence, it says the agency is directed to leverage other resources to maximize state resources for severity expenses. Now, that sounds an awful lot to me like the agency is being directed to take full advantage of all these in-kind contributions that the industry makes available. I just want to call everybody's attention to that. Thank you.
All righty. We are on urban forest. The agency requested establishing eight positions in package 140. ELFO is recommending that to carry out the co-chair budget plan that we only shift the federal funds and the two positions from private forests. And if federal funds for these positions are reduced, the agency may request replacement funds from the legislator at its proposed special session, or the interim emergency board so that they can maintain those positions. And then moving on to private forests, we're on page 18. Package 114, smoke management capacity, transfers smoke management to the protection from fire program. We recommend approval. Package 140, urban forestry, transfer of the urban forestry to standalone program. We recommend approval. Package 150, Eastern Oregon effectiveness monitoring, adds three positions and two FTE. LFO is recommending approval with technical adjustment. Package 151, sudden oak death, establishes a position. LFO is recommending approval and adjusting the agency's current estimate of availability of federal funds and with adjustment to reduce PERS cost by 6 months. Package 152 restores the essential budget level in private forests. The agency asked for 14 positions. The co-chair's budget plan allows 7 positions, 7 FTE. Package 155, bioenergy development, established 2 positions, was requested. LFO is recommending to carry out the co-chair budget plan that 1 natural resource specialist be approved. There are no packages in the nursery program. There is...
Then before we move on to the next program, first of all, on 151, sudden oak death, very, very, very much appreciative of everybody's efforts in funding that. I've articulated before how important that disease is and trying to allow it. 152, EBL, private forests, we're halfway there with it. It's unfortunate we couldn't fund that full package. I just think it's important that people realize that those positions, so stewardship forester positions, are the type of positions that are used for the department to implement the Oregon Plan for Salmon and Watersheds, to ensure that the landowners are complying with the State Forest Practices Act, which is perhaps one of the most premier state environmental acts we have. And so the simple fact that we're not willing to fund that fully to make sure we're complying with that act seems rather counterintuitive to me. But anyways, 50% is better than nothing. So thank you for that.
Okay, we're on page 23, Facility Maintenance and Development Program. And there is a technical adjustment to correct a rounding error in the agency's base budget to add a 0.01 FTE. Debt service, package 185, provides the debt service payments for the COP COPs for the business initiative at $319,806 general fund and $438,602 other funds. Package 186 is the debt service for the major capital construction COPs that we will talk about in a little bit, at $181,093 general fund and $136,744 other funds. Package, or the program capital improvements on page 26, we are adding package 807 for timber sale project costs. This provides one-time resources to offset project costs on timber sales, and as a result, revenue distributions to counties will be increased by approximately $4.16 million. And we recommend approval with the understanding that this is a one-time expenditure and future timber sale project costs will return to the current practice of inclusion in the timber sale contract. That's a $6.4 million package. Capital construction. Package 190, the agency had requested 5 capital construction projects. LFO is recommending 2 to carry out the co-chair budget plan. John Day at $1.5 million and Sisters at $1.25 million to be funded with certificates of participation.
Ms. Jordan, these were the 2 projects that the department identified as the highest priorities.
That's correct. Okay, then we will move back to the LFO memorandum and move to page 5. Yes, 5. Item 3 is the recommended budget bill adjustments to approve a motion to amend House Bill 5024 by making the following changes that are described in the memorandum. Do you need Representative Nolan?
Okay. The chair has telepathic capabilities, but doesn't think they're very dependable.
Do I need? Okay.
Do we have a motion to approve the LFO recommendations that will lead to the adjustments in the budget that are indicated on page 5 of the memo from the LFO? So moved. Okay. It's been moved to move the LFO recommendations, which is actually the financial portion of this, at this particular point. Are there any objections to that motion? Any discussion of that motion? Any objections to that motion? Motion passes. Now, let's go on to performance measures and then come back to budget notes.
Mr. Chair, we have capital construction before that.
Okay, we'll go to capital construction and the performance measures.
Members of the committee, item 4 is the capital construction. We need to approve a motion to recommend the two capital construction projects that we described for the subcommittee that will be reviewing the capital construction bill in House Bill 5006. And that's $2.75 million.
Is there a motion to approve the two capital construction projects? Is there any discussion? Any objection to the motion? Hearing none, the motion passes. Let's move on to performance measures.
Okay, performance measures. If you will turn to, there's a separate attachment on performance measures, and turn to page 3 for the Legislative Central Office's recommendations. We're recommending approval of the agency's request to continue performance measures 1 and 3 through 10, KPM 12 through 18, 20, and KPM 22, modifying the wording in measure 11 and 19 and the addition of new measures for the Tillamook Forest Interpretive Center and the best practices measure recommended by the Joint Legislative Audit Committee for boards and commissions, with a target of 100%. LFO recommends all references in the performance measures to hire is better be deleted, since this is intuitive. That's really a very minor technical change. And we're also recommending that these following changes and additions: that key performance measure 2 be reworked to reflect an outcome versus an output. The number of visitors does not reflect education level. Suggest the agency explore use of exit surveys or other mechanisms to measure performance of the forest education that they're trying to measure there. KPM number 11 needs to be revisited to establish a better high-level outcome, for example, fish passage versus Oregon coast coho abundance. Some of these are suggestions that were made by the subcommittee. KPM 12 be reworked to provide metric that reflects how the Forest Practices Act is doing across the landscape, and they may need a new measure for that. Measure 15 be supplemented with an additional measure that measures the effectiveness of achieving the most efficient level for base fire protection. And measure 18 be reworked to reflect a breakdown between Class 2 and Class 3 fires, defining each class and ability of the state to influence the outcome of each. And then the remaining proposed measures inform on the department's mission. The agency proposed increasing 9 targets, holding 6 the same as previous years. LFO recommends the target for 16 be reduced to reflect the average actual experience for years between 2003. I believe that is wildland firefighter safety. And that the remaining targets meet the criteria. So LFO is recommending a budget note for key performance measures, which I don't think is controversial, that the department be directed to update Legislative Fiscal Office quarterly on its progress in revising the measures, and may request the department to seek advice or concurrence from an appropriate interim committee on its key performance measures.
Do we have a motion on the performance measures? And to make it clear so that everyone understands, in approving those performance measures, you are approving that one budget note, because that's not actually a budget note under the other items that we're going to discuss in a few minutes. So it's a budget note about performance measures. Do we have a motion on the performance measures?
I move we adopt the performance measures as
discussed.
Okay. It's been moved that we adopt the performance measures as discussed. Is there any additional discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, motion passes. Can we stand a couple at ease for a couple of minutes so I can explain to the co-chair? And Senator Walking has a question for me, so... the meeting of the Subcommittee on Natural Resources, and obviously we're still in work session on House Bill 5024. I want to say that the chair made a minor error. When we approved the previous performance measure in the performance measure budget note, when we did the performance measures, it's actually also included here. So when we get to a motion on, you're going to approve it twice, is basically what you're going to do, budget note on performance measures. I think most of our discussion is going to go around budget note number A. Susie, why don't you give us a brief presentation of that again, and then we'll get a motion, and then we'll go into discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm going to read the budget note. A, protection from fire, that beginning with the 2007 fire season, the Department of Forestry is directed to track in detail the actual cost of in-kind fire suppression resources from private landowners by district and area, excluding mobilization, and provide a quarterly report to the Legislative Fiscal Office. Under the supervision of the Legislative Fiscal Office, the Department shall commission an independent audit of the 2006-07 and 2007-08 fire suppression programs to validate usage and verifiable actual costs incurred by the Department and by landowners. The audit report shall be provided to the Interim Joint Committee on Ways and Means or Emergency Board by no later than December 2008. The Department is further directed to prepare the 2009-2011 agency budget request, essential budget level, in the Fire Protection Program budget, assuming that both program and administrative costs will be shared between private and public landowners and the public share fire funding under the current funding ratio.
Okay. And not to belabor this, but current funding ratio is 50-50. Current funding ratio... And I don't like to talk here in terms of equations, but that's practically what this is. Current funding ratio includes both direct and indirect, or obviously direct cash contributions, and also in-kind contributions, and that is the intent of this budget note. It is actually to include in-kind contributions, and the audit is to basically verify what those are. Those might be the same as they are assumed to be in when we put this budget, when the governor put this budget together. They might be more, they might be less in kind, but there is no assumption here about what the level of in kind is. But the assumption is very clearly that in kind contributions will be counted towards meeting the requirements for that, meeting that ratio. So,
well, Mr. Chair, first of all, I should have declared a potential conflict of interest earlier, because my consulting business does have clients that do business with the Department of Forestry. Ms. Jordan, when you read this, there was one word that had changed in your statement. In the second sentence where it says detail the actual use of in-kind, you said cost. And I don't think in this case that's too big of a deal, because you do talk about verifiable actual costs further down. So it's obviously for auditing, we're looking for the cost. We want the dollar figure, not the use. Well, Mr. Chair, I obviously, as you know, have very strong objections to the way this budget note is written for two reasons. One, the second paragraph, to me, very clearly assumes that we are going to be shifting the admin cost to the 50-50 basis. Okay? It says that right there, assuming that both program and administrative costs will be shared. So we are doing the cost shift. That's what that paragraph says. Furthermore, Mr. Chair, I would submit that that is a policy directive that does not belong in a budget note. And then thirdly, I think that requiring quarterly reports is punitive to the department. I think that an annual report would be most sufficient in the case of an audit, especially when fire season is going to go over the course of two, if not perhaps three quarters. So, Mr. Chair, I would move that we strike the entire budget note A.
It's been moved to strike budget note A. One of the things I'd like to include here, and that's been moved in discussion, current funding ratio is, I believe, actually reflected probably in statute and administrative rule. I would like to get Mr. Brown forward just to answer one question, and that's about the 90-day or quarterly reporting. There was a question before that was voiced to me about what level of burden that would be to the department, and if you could comment on that.
Thank you, Chair. For the record, Marvin Brown, State Forester with Department of Forestry. I really haven't, to be honest, thought much about how we're going to implement this yet. I assume it'll probably be with a private contractor, and we can certainly build into the scope of that contract the timing for quarterly reports. But I assume it's going to need to be a private contractor to kind of honor the spirit of what you're trying to get at here.
I just wanted to get that on the record because there had been a discussion. Anybody else have a comment? Okay. On the motion, we do have a motion to remove budget note A. Would you call the roll?
Well, I'm sorry. I thought you meant for Ms. for the floor.
Oh, no. Okay. Representative Klein.
I just want to hit on that second part, not the quarterly part, but the description I heard you give is that in terms of directing the agency's budget request, that they should prepare it at a 50-50 ratio, which is the current funding ratio, but that the costs for the in-kind and donated items are also included in that. And if it comes back that those are higher, they may have a lower landowner contribution because if you're really trying to keep it right at 50-50.
I believe that is clearly a potential result of the audit. I think, you know, I'll be honest with the audience here. I'm a budget person, not a forestry person. But my understanding of this and with some of my discussions with the director of the department is if you're going to do a 50-50 ratio and you include the in-kind, that's basically going to impact what the rate is. It doesn't, you know, we're talking about here, one of the things that they did in this process, the sort of unofficial process, is they chose to account for the in-kind contributions in the administrative side. You could just as easily account for them broadly and still account for them. And you would still keep the 50-50 ratio so that the in-kind would basically be shown up as actual costs. And I think that's what they're saying here. How you ultimately implement this in terms of is probably kind of a separate question. But the intent here, if I haven't made it clear, the intent here is that in-kind contributions will be included in the calculation of what each party is bringing to bear on this issue. And I would hope that in the official budget report for this, that would reflect my comments earlier about this and the comments now, that the intent is to include the in-kind in determining what the contribution is from all parties. And so that ultimately, and then you will be looking at what I believe is, I don't know if it's reflected both in statute and rule, but the 50-50 ratio. So that is not an assumption of any of the assumptions that have been brought up here before. The assumption here is that an evaluation is going to be done. Yes, Representative Clem.
I speaking to the motion, I think I'm not going to support it at this point. I think I could support a motion to change the quarterly to some other level. You know, I sit on, I'm one of our cross-pollinators. I sit on the policy committee. It took a lot of testimony on the fire protection program. And I really don't want to see policy changed here without going through that committee. The way I read this, it's a direction on how to prepare a budget, which is appropriate. That is an appropriate thing for Ways and Means to tell them how to prepare it. Doesn't mean it's going to be adopted that way. I still think we need to probably get a bill going that actually deals with this and have a fuller policy committee discussion about this too, getting some of this data back. And I'd be happy to be a co-sponsor of that bill to have the discussion actually. So I think this is appropriate, especially with your explanation in terms of a use of a budget note. If it actually definitely asserted an outcome, I would really think that was a highly inappropriate use of a budget note, and I would support that, you know, that part. That's where I'm at.
On the motion that's before us, it's been discussed to remove budget note A. Ms. Jordan, would you call the roll?
One more, if you don't mind, Mr. Chair. Also, in addition to your comments about the in-kind contribution, there is no intent within this budget note to add additional costs into that sharing formula than what is already being shared, correct?
There is no intent to do that. And Senator Avakian, you know that one of my maybe faults is I have to be as truthful as I can possibly be. The costs of government continue to increase, so there's no intent to add any additional costs, but expect that everything that we do in the future will probably cost us more to do. There's no intent to provide additional functions for it.
My question is regard to types of costs, not amount of costs,
right,
which we all know increase.
Okay.
There is no intent to add additional types of costs.
There is none.
That was an important point to get on the record with
there
regard
is none.
To the note.
Yes.
Chair, I would submit that that is not consistent with what the second paragraph of Budget Note A says, because the issue is that the cost basis for the 50-50 cost share program for fire to date has not included the admin costs. What this does is it puts that in there. We're not talking about changing the 50-50 ratio necessarily, although I've heard conversations, it sounds like that might be on the table as well. But the way I read this, and this is my concern, and Senator Lockett, as an attorney, you can appreciate this word for word, this tells me that we are going to put the admin cost into the 50-50 cost share basis, which in August 5, 2004, an LFO spreadsheet was prepared as a result of this work group that said the admin costs for fire protection that are paid solely by county resource is believed to be roughly equal to the in-kind contributions. And that's why it hasn't been in there to date. If we want to study this, if we want to have an audit, fine. We can do that. But this budget note, we don't need this budget note to do the audit. And this budget note goes way beyond simply doing an audit.
Just to clarify, and then we need to go to a vote. Currently, the costs other than administrative are shared 50-50. And currently, the understanding for the administrative costs are that they are shared 50-50. The 50%, which is the state's contribution, now is direct. The 50% that is the in-kind is indirect. I believe that the intent of this very clearly is to reflect the in-kind, but to reflect it in the overall determining the 50-50 share. That, hopefully I'm not confusing people here, that might mean that the share on the private landowner side might be overall, both costs, administrative and all other costs, might be 46% coming from the assessment and might be 4% in kind, or 44% coming from the assessment and 6% in kind. That's the only thing that I see actually in this budget note. I just do not see any intent here not to reflect the landowner's actual in-kind contributions to this. The clear intent is to reflect that in the assessments that they pay. So that is considered part of what they are contributing into that assessment, is the in-kind in terms of determining the rate. So there is no intent here to change whether or not in-kind or is included or not included. The intent here is to include in-kind contributions. So with that, I will ask for the roll to be called.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, Representative Clem. Representative Burley.
Yes.
Representative Garrard.
Yes.
Representative Nolan.
No.
Representative Nathanson.
No.
Senator Nelson.
Aye.
Senator Avakian.
No.
Senator Devlin.
No. Motion fails. Do we have a motion to approve the two budget notes, budget note A and budget note B?
So moved.
Okay. Then approve the two budget notes. Is there any additional discussion?
Just one comment.
Yeah. Okay.
The intent, we had a nice discussion regarding the intent of, I think, this budget note that was included in the discussion of the previous motion. And I just think it's important that that intent that you described is included in the record on this motion as well.
Good idea.
Okay. And I would ask that that's done and that it's in the official report prepared by DAS and telephone. Okay. On the motion to approve the budget notes, call the roll.
Representative Clem.
Aye.
Representative Burley.
No.
Representative Garrard.
No.
Representative Nolan.
Aye.
Representative Nathanson.
Aye.
Senator Nelson.
No.
Senator Avakian.
Aye.
Senator Devlin.
Aye. Motion passes. Do we have a motion to recommend to the poll?
So moved.
Okay, it's been moved to move the budget with the LFO recommendations, with the adjustments in the budget bill, with the budget notes, with the performance measures to the full committee with the due pass recommendation. Any additional discussion?
Just one other thing. Sorry, Mr. Chair. Whoever you assign to carry this particular piece, since I'm not on the full, I would appreciate that intent be also included in the record on the full committee.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Avakian. I did want to put one thing on the record, and I know this meeting has went on a long time. When this budget process started, about 2 to 3 weeks into the budget process, I clearly identified two natural resources related budgets within this committee that would be issues. I mean, in terms of they would be difficult to resolve. One was DQ and the other was forestry. Also, as we got into this discussion and the decision was made in terms of adjusting how administrative costs would be paid, I think that occurred because there was concerns by some parties that the process was not complete that was carried out in 2003-2004. I know that that might be an item of contention, but it became relatively clear probably about a month ago that we needed to find other ways to resolve this issue rather than that shift. The co-chairs had some resources to put to bear to try to resolve that, but not enough. Probably to resolve maybe about 40% of that shift. We had to look for other alternatives. The other alternatives were finding ways to lower what the impact would have been. So we looked at if you assess the cost for landowners, both public and private, that lowered the rate. But one of the things that I wanted to clearly avoid and manage to avoid in this process, one of the other ways to resolve this, was to go back into the forestry budget and take away basically virtually everything that we had managed to add back to the forestry budget since the original co-chair's budget was released. That is something that I clearly wanted to avoid doing. I think we have a solution here that actually a lot of parties can go away from here if they look at this objectively, saying that they have met what they wanted to meet. The landowners have made their case, but they understand that there's going to be a process and they may have to make that case. The counties benefit from this because they get an understanding about the ultimate use of these funds and how it's a mutual decision. The forestry department actually is a winner here too, because all the things that we worked to put back into the budget are still in the budget. And ultimately, I think the people of Oregon are a winner here, because we've resolved a very contentious issue in the best way that I saw that we could potentially resolve it. And with that, if there's any no additional discussion, would you please call the roll?
Representative Klim. Representative Burley. No. Representative Garrard. Representative Nolan.
Aye.
Representative Nathanson.
Aye.
Senator Nelson.
No.
Senator Avakian.
Aye.
Senator Devlin.
Aye. Motion passes. I will carry to the full and to the Senate floor. I will have a co-carrier on the Senate floor, Senator Schrader, and Representative Roblin will be the carrier on the House floor. Before we actually adjourn, and that closes this work session, we do have one bill up on Monday. We may have two bills up on Monday, is my understanding. Or more.
Or more.
Or more.
Probably only two.
We do have a hearing on a certain bill, which is commonly referred to as the OASIS bill, on Tuesday. It will probably be the longest hearing that is held on anything in the final 3 weeks of the legislative session. But at most, I have an hour and a half to an hour and 45 minutes to hold the hearing. So we will not be convening at 8:30. We will be convening at 8. I've asked for two panels, both one panel of proponents, one panel of opponents, to speak. 10 minutes each, questions to both panels for 5 minutes each, and then we will go to testimony from the audience. I would ask, it is normally a courtesy within this building for legislators to be afforded the opportunity to speak first. I will still honor that, but I would tell legislators that choose to do that here that they have other places to voice their concerns, they have other opportunities, and the more that they come to speak to this issue, the less chance that the proponents and opponents will have to speak to this issue and the public in general. So we will try to get as through as many people as we possibly can in an hour and a half to an hour and 45 minutes. The House will be going to the floor at 9. We will be going at 9:45. And so I would ask that you have your questions for the proponents and opponents, but when we go to the general public, we will be giving them 2 minutes each to hold your questions unless they're absolutely necessary. And with that, we are adjourned.